Welcome to another Jags podcast. This is our daily mailbag for Saturday, September 21st. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Another Jags Pod. We are now active on Instagram at Another Jags Podcast. We put up film reviews and cut ups there on Instagram as well. Make sure to follow us on YouTube. All right, I'm joined here with my boy Brodell Higgins on Twitter, and it's at, is it Brodell underscore Higgins?
Yes, sir.
So I got my boy Mike here tonight. Mike's, before we get into like the conversation about the Jags Titans and Jalen Ramsey, just know Mike is a hardcore Jag, hardcore Knoll fan. Been following the sport and the game for a long time. His grandfather is even a alumnus of the Florida State University.
Yeah, played and coached.
And so we got some deep roots here. Admittedly, last podcast you were on, you got some heat on Twitter for being a little pessimistic.
I was negative, apparently.
And it was before the Texans game, correct?
Yep, it was.
And we did lose that game, correct?
We did. We should have won, though.
And how did you feel going into the Titans game?
I felt a little bit better. I thought the defense played well. I thought the way that the Titans played against the Colts, they didn't look too impressive.
But they looked good against the Browns, though.
They did. But that is also the Browns, and they are also known for losing.
Historically, but, this isn't the same Browns team, though.
You never know. But I was not as pessimistic as last week, but I thought we had a chance this week. I did not think it was going to be what it was last night.
Did you expect the D-line to do what they did?
I did. Taylor Lewan being out, it's a huge loss for them, and we have a pretty fantastic defensive line on our own.
Most of the defense played well. How would you grade the defense overall in the entire game, giving them a letter grade?
There was some missed tackles, some coverage breakdowns. But overall, you got to give it a B plus.
A B plus. Dang, that's tough. 9 sacks is allowing 7 points is a B plus. That's tough criteria over there, Mike.
An A would be a shutout. So you got to save that for the elite games, like,
you know, A minus,
like
at least.
Like the Colts game last year.
We can't get an A minus.
I mean, B plus is pretty good.
Okay. All right. So how would you grade Jalen Ramsey's performance? And we're not going to jump too much into him right now. We will. But not right now. But how would you grade his performance?
I thought the sharp play, he was kind of baiting him into it. Easily could have made the play on it. It was just a matter of inches. So can't fault him too much. It was one play.
One
so
big play.
I thought he played well. But grade overall, B minus.
B minus.
Close to a C plus, B minus.
Okay, now grade his post game interview.
F. It was bad.
For the record, I give the Jags defense a minus. I give Jalen Ramsey's play a C, and I give the interview also an F.
Yeah, that was horrible. It was not ideal.
All right, let's move on to the linebackers. Linebackers, I thought that Leon Jacobs, Quincy Williams, even Najee Good, Miles Jack, I thought they played decent going into the game. What grade would you give the linebackers for their performance against the Titans?
Was it Najee Good that had the pass breakup of the one that was going to the wide open Delaney Walker? That was good, right?
He tipped that?
He did tip it.
Okay, I didn't even notice that was him or not.
Yeah, so okay. That was a good play. Quincy Williams made some good tackles. He hit hard. Leon Jacobs, he's always pretty solid. He had that good fumble recovery on special teams.
Yeah.
But we still have some breakdowns. There was that Henry, I know it's not exactly on them, but that Henry screen that he dropped, that could have gone for a lot. Where were they in that play? But not bad. Probably around the Jalen Ramsey, B minus, B plus. The D-line just dominated, honestly.
Well, I guess the knock on the linebacking core was when it got deep coverage down the field. There was a play Quincy Williams was covering. I think it was Adam Humphries.
He had a good game.
And it was like a vertical, and he ended up getting like 28, 30 yards on the vertical, and Quincy Williams was just clearly behind him. I mean, made up for it with the tackle, which is good.
It was also pretty late, though.
But I will give Quincy Williams credit, because I thought he played really well. There was one play where the offensive player got called for holding, and he still kept one arm free and made a tackle on Derrick Henry. I thought the linebacking core, Quincy Williams especially, Leon Jacobs, Miles Jack, I think I would give them a B,
okay,
a solid B, because they really did play better than I thought. I thought they were going to be a glaring issue.
Especially with Miles going out. That's a big
exactly.
loss.
Exactly.
Two out of three games we've lost them. That's crazy.
And the Titans always seem to beat us with that interior attack of the running back, quarterback, tight end.
Yeah.
So it was good to see. I thought linebackers were going to need to step up, and thought they did. All right, let's move back to the secondary as a whole. Okay, secondary as a whole. What grade would you give the secondary, factoring in Jalen's grade, factoring the nickel corner, all of it?
Bouye did get beat pretty bad on that the double move. That was the receiver. He couldn't really locate the ball.
Well, because fortunately, Mariota just made a terrible pass, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
It was a combination. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, any other time, Bouye got beat pretty bad on that one. Overall, though, Harrison dropped that interception. It's debatable on how hard of a catch that is. He did get a hand on it. I would give it a... I hate to keep giving all these Bs, but it was a solid B. I'll give it a B.
Man, you're getting on some tough grades tonight, man. You remind
That's
me...
That's a good grade.
You
a
remind
B.
me of my chemistry, my high school chemistry teacher... Mr. Pagula, who really made it
that
hard for me.
It
must
have been basic chemistry. I didn't have him.
It might have been standard chemistry, but who's keeping track nowadays of that? Okay, I think overall, I thought Bouye played a great game.
Hey,
I
mean, he did. He had some good pass breakups.
They picked on Bouye because they saw the potential to be exposed after the first 2 weeks, which I would do the same thing.
I think a B is a good grade, though, honestly.
A B is a good grade. But I give the secondary like a B+.
No interceptions, though. That's what you keep it from that high.
Okay, but still, I mean.
Not one turnover.
Mariota had, what, 304 yards, and almost 80 of that was in garbage time.
Going in, so we went for it on fourth down with about 3:20 left in the game. Up until that point, Gardner and Mariota had about 250, but Gardner ended with 204. They were at 204, and Mariota was at 215. So, yeah, it was definitely a lot of garbage time there for Mariota.
I mean, just look at the quarterback ratings between the two. The quarterback rating for Gardner Minshew. Well, let's wait till we get there. We're not the quarterbacks yet. So overall, we've graded each position. Let's turn it to the. I want to get to what you thought about the coaching staff and the game plan, because I know me and you we watched the game a few times from different angles, and we look at a lot of different things. Sometimes we'll look exclusively at individual offensive linemen. Sometimes we'll look at individual defensive backs. What did you think about the way the game was coached? Like, how do you think Marone did? How do you think Flip did? And how do you think Wash did?
I think it's two straight games of, I think Marone did a good job. You can argue on the 2-point conversion. But the defense, two straight games, has definitely shown up. It's a shame that Jalen is even thinking about leaving, because his defense is rolling right now. I like Flip. Things were pretty rocky at points during the Texans game. Titans game, it got a little rocky there for a minute, but I contribute that more to the rain. Having a 14-point lead. Overall, this game, I would give the coaching another solid B+.
B+, that's pretty high.
Special teams, even going into the special teams, Wingard, they said they came into that game prepared, knowing that Adoree Jackson is a sketchy, questionable punt returner. So the three phases of the game that we played pretty well.
I agree with that. I didn't see much need for Marone to manage the game. Maybe that last
touchdown.
Going for it. But if you think about it, the field goal would only put them up, what was it, 16, and that's still a 2-possession game.
Yeah.
So I don't hate the idea of just running the ball and pinning them back on the 5-yard line like they did there at the end of the game instead of kicking the field goal. I think Flip, given the conservativeness he called the last two games, and admittedly because of Gardner Minshew and the unknown there, at no point in this game, even when we were up 14, did I think Flip was calling it to run the clock out.
No.
Besides the very last drive of the game, obviously, but he didn't coach the game like we've traditionally are used to seeing, where we get up 14 and it's run, and hope the defense can win.
No Hackett and Olsen football?
Yeah. I mean, we attacked down the field. There was first down play actions, and it's just ridiculous how we've been saying this for so long, and they finally do it, and it works. It's so frustrating.
But it's also what you have. Blake Bortles, does he make any of those throws last night? I don't think so. Maybe that one to Chark, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And we always blame drops.
The touchdown Chark, too.
We always blame drops on Blake for him unproductivity.
Yeah, another three by Didi.
Yeah, and Minshew had his. I mean, we just talked about this. We didn't get into the stats about Minshew and Mariota. But if Didi catches one of those three, two of those three, or the touchdown of those three, Minshew's numbers are, just look so much better. Can you imagine if Minshew is, let's say Dede Westbrook catches that ball. It was like a, what, it was a 20, 25-yard pass, maybe 30-yard pass?
Dede, I'm not sure if it was that. It might have been a little bit closer than that.
Okay, so let's give them, let's give him 10 yards. If he's 21 for 30, 214 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah.
His quarterback rating probably goes up to near the perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. His QBR is currently at 55.7. That probably goes up to about 75. Yeah. So that's one mental lapse from Dede Westbrook away from Gardner Minshew being literally like a top league leader at PFF and yards
PFF
and ratings.
He is.
But I'm, what is he? He's 10th, right? Is he 10th in PFF? So he's 10th in what percentage?
He's the 10th rated quarterback right now.
So just as far as their grades, he's 10th rated. He would be literally 3 or 4.
Yeah.
If Dede catches that ball.
Yeah.
That's what that one moment can do. And so let's move into the offense. Well, actually, I didn't give it my grade yet. I just ranted without giving my coaching grade.
Yeah, it happens.
Who cares about my coaching grade? People don't care. I say the coaching staff, I give them a B+. Okay. Let's move into the quarterbacks. Sorry, I got a little bit ahead of myself there. Marcus Mariota, Gardner Minshew. Interesting combination of players. Going into the game, Mariota's looked at as someone who is struggling.
Yeah.
And on the hot seat almost. Not quite. Gardner Minshew coming in with really nothing to lose. If we look at them together, we look at them side by side, they were in totally different situations. Offensive line for Tennessee, missing Taylor Lewan. Offensive line for Minshew, finally fully healthy. Receiving core for Tennessee, pretty underwhelming. You know, we said Adam Humphries is their best receiver. A.J. Brown, they just drafted from Ole Miss in the, was it first round?
Second round.
And then Tajay Sharp. That's about as good as we are, right? Yeah, would you call that a wash with us?
They have Davis as well, who's pretty solid.
Corey Davis. How could I forget Corey Davis? So then you're looking at a tight end core where Tennessee has the advantage.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew, although didn't put as many yards, like did what he had to do. And he attacked down the field. So what were your impressions? I know Gardner Minshew has been memed all over the world right now. What are your impressions as someone who watches football a lot and is you're
he was down,
a skeptic?
I didn't mean to be so hard on him last episode. I think he's a fantastic quarterback, but he's a second game, first start, and against a pretty good Houston defense. Bortles wishes he can make those throws. PFF last night graded him on deep throws, which is throws over 10 yards. He had a 96 passing grade, which is amazing.
Over obviously. 10 yards.
Yeah, over 10 yards.
Wow.
Which would have been better because he had that one drop by Dede. So he was 6 for 8 of passes over 10 yards with one drop.
I mean, we were cutting up the formations and the schemes from last game against the Texans. I was looking at their plays and their play calls. Their plays went for over 5 yards 32% of the time against the Texans. That's a good percentage. Really, the biggest thing holding them back in the Texans game was the penalties. We were getting called with holdings the way similarly to how the Titans were.
We were.
This week. So it was something that was hampering our drives, and we were moving the ball. It's just the penalties were killing us. So I think this week we were able to put it all together, and it looks good, and I'm excited. So grade it. Gary, give me your grade for Minshew.
Minshew, I'll give him an A.
An A.
Yeah. You beat the Titans. Anytime you beat the Titans, it's a good game, so.
All right, I'm going to give them A-. Yeah, A-. I know it's not far from yours, but like I said, the man played out of his mind. He did what he had to do. The fact that he doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, in the pocket, he's so calm, steps up, runs when he has to.
Who's the analyst for NFL Network that was talking about like the look in his eye in the huddle?
Oh, Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson was talking about how he's been in the huddle and he can see guys' eyes in the huddle and his demeanor. And he can see, this is from him watching on TV, and because he's been in the huddle. And he can see the body language of the players around him if they're like bought in or not. He said Minshew was in the huddle. You can tell by his eyes and his demeanor, like he's in control and the team's bought into him. Love that about Minshew. Like you said, has the things you can't teach.
Intelligent, accurate.
Yeah. What do you expect? What do you predict out of Gardner Minshew for the rest of the year?
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to. Honestly, it's
I know. Hey, this isn't a podcast because, you know.
Don't put me on this right now, but I mean.
We'll make it easier for
you. We've seen the stats after the first three games. He's number one in, was it passer rating they showed?
In the first three games, passer rating of any rookie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez.
But Bortles is on that list. And so is RG3.
That was a different stat.
That was completion percentage.
Is that what completion percentage?
Yeah, completion percentage.
The passer rating.
The first three games, yeah. Gardner Minshew is first.
Yeah. Bortles was third.
Bortles was third, and I think RG3 was second.
Second, yeah. Oof.
But then Carson Wentz was fourth. That was a breath of fresh air there. All right, so before we move on to our favorite topic, and that's the big boys on the offensive line, we got to take a quick break. So thank you guys for listening. Hang tight. We're about to jump into our grades for the offensive line. And shocker, it's around a B. So hang tight. Check out these sponsors, and then we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to another Jags podcast. This is our daily mailbag for Saturday morning. It's nice and early for you here. Jimbro Fisher, he's with me. It's about 4 a.m. here. I'm just kidding. We're definitely doing this Friday night. But we'll release it to you guys on Saturday morning. So make sure you follow us on Twitter, at Another Jags Pod, Instagram, Another Jags Podcast. You can follow Mike at what?
Brodell Higgins.
And do you want to explain the
artist formerly known as Jimbro Fisher.
Oh, I forget you're not Jimbo Fisher anymore.
Yeah. He's dead to us.
You had all those followers that thought you were actually Jimbo Fisher because you used his official picture and your picture.
I missed the hate mail of Jimbo. Nice call on third down.
All right, so we teased a little bit. We're going into the Jags offensive line. But before we do, we've got to get to this Twitter question because I have forgotten the last couple of days. And
yeah, you got a little too big for your fans, I've noticed. I could barely even get a hold of you.
We have been flooded with Twitter questions. I'm sorry. We're trying to get them all out there. It's harder on these mailbags, but this question is from our buddy Witty.
Oh.
Our buddy Witty. Good friend of ours. He says, usually when players get this bad about the coaching staff, they usually have a players-only meeting. If Ramsey is this mad due to the front office / coaching, shouldn't everyone else be angry too? And wouldn't we normally hear about a players-only meeting?
Well, it came out Sunday that they had a discussion, and apparently Tom Coughlin insulted him somehow.
Disrespected, I believe, is the word Jalen used.
And that's where the issue stems from. So, I mean, I don't know how.
Here's a little life pro tip for you. If you have a lot of pride, then it's easy to get disrespected, right? Like, I can't tell you the last time I've felt disrespected. You know why?
Oh, really?
Because I have no pride.
Okay.
And you do nothing you can say to make me think that I even care about your opinion because I have no pride in myself.
When I said you were thinning up earlier and you got a little salty.
I think when it comes to a players-only meeting, I think that's a good point. But who on this team would call that, do you think?
Calais? Yeah.
Okay, so do you think that he did something like that? Do you think he brought the team together and was like, let's focus on Thursday?
I'm sure he did, but I don't think that's going to have any effect on Jalen at all.
Yeah, but what do you think about the team, though?
Jalen, I mean, the team, I don't think they know it's a business. They know Jalen's issues. They know the team's issues. I mean, what's bad for Jalen's not necessarily bad for the team, so it's too...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But do you think something like that happened? Do you think they got pulled together?
I mean, I think Calais definitely could have talked to him pregame, like, hey, national TV game, try not to get embarrassed. It's Calais. I mean, that's how he's always been. So, but I don't think they had, like, I mean, you think they specifically had something after the game?
Maybe not after the game, but like, or I just could in see general Calais at all? Came and like, all right, boys, let's get together. And it was like, all right, you know what? Put all these distractions aside. Let's go. Let's play.
Yeah, Doug Marrone did say it was the longest short week of his.
I think for all of us it was because we're all sitting there with alerts on our phone from Adam Schefter trying to get text updates from Adam Schefter via Twitter.
It's been rough. I've about passed out a couple times.
Antonio Brown gets released. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
It's not Jalen Ramsey. All right, so we kind of talked about the offensive line a little bit before the break. Who stood out to you on the offensive line? Who do you think did well? Who could stand to improve?
Lender played well. Juwan Taylor played well. The rest of them were pretty average to serviceable. Some below. We saw a few plays. Norwell tried to pull. It looked horrible. He got beat a few times. Cam had a few penalties.
So grade for the entire offensive line.
The entire offensive line. No sacks. That's always good. You did. Was there a lot of chipping? Did you see a lot of chipping?
I didn't notice it.
Any tight ends? Was there a lot of?
I noticed O'Shaughnessy played a lot at the beginning. I noticed Swain played a lot toward the end. I didn't see a lot of Seth DeValve this game. A little bit, not a lot.
He's a beast on Madden.
Who?
DeValve? Have you played with him?
No, I haven't.
He had 1,000 yards in my franchise. And became a superstar somehow.
Like, it's you don't often, like, you don't see a player in the regular season that wasn't picked up that we didn't talk about a lot in the preseason. Wasn't he acquired off of someone else's depth chart?
Yeah, I'm not sure if the Browns were trying to sneak him on the practice squad or not, but he was known to be pretty talented, I believe.
So he was on the Browns, and the Browns tried to put him on the practice squad.
I believe.
And that's what happened. Well, let's see here. Seth DeValve, who we've talked about at great lengths, went to Princeton. He's an Ivy League guy. He was drafted in the fourth round of 2016. He's from Manchester, Connecticut. He's got good size, 6'3", 245. The Browns actually drafted him in the fourth round in 2016. So basically the year that Jalen and Miles were drafted, in the fourth round, Seth DeValve was drafted by the Browns and basically was claimed off waivers by the Jags in 2019, September 1st. So right before the season started. That's why we didn't talk about him. Surprised to see him in the game, though. I really am. Yeah. Is it because Josh Oliver's hurt? Do you think Josh Oliver takes his spot when he gets back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's a rookie coming back for injury, so am I so quick to say yes?
You were quick just a second ago. You were very quick.
I had to think about it.
All right. Offensive line. Look, Andrew Norwell, I don't think played well. Cam Robinson did okay. At right guard, they did a weird mixture of Will Richardson and AJ Cann.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they talked about they were going to get them both looks, but they just directly gave them both 50-50 snaps, it seems like.
Isn't that weird to see that? You don't, I mean, not a lot of people pay attention to the offensive line, but to see like the rotation type of thing.
Yeah, that was weird. I guess you let him get in a groove. I guess that's the way to do it if you're going to do it. So who was it on Twitter that said that Richardson's our best guard? It was, I can't remember.
Probably Dila.
But I disagree 100%. Yeah, I mean, he's not. I mean, he's not as bad as I thought he would be, but, you know, I thought AJ Cann has been playing. And I'm a known AJ Cann hater. And I think AJ Cann's played the best this year of any of them. Jawan Taylor was all right. He still has those rookie moments. Like, I think twice when we went back and watched the game, he like actually had a false start and they just didn't call it. Cam Robinson is doing good considering where he's coming back from.
It's a year to the day, or not to the day, but just about a year since his injury.
The thing that concerns me, though, is the interior blocking on run. Fournette couldn't even get to the line of scrimmage on so many plays.
He had hands on him.
The second he touched the ball.
Yeah.
Before he had the ball.
Yeah.
There was players in the backfield. It was just insane. And you got to clean that up. Like, we are paying Linder and Norwell way too much money for them to be that bad on the interior of the offensive line.
I'm not sure if it is. Is it Linder, though, or is it more of a...
Linder's not doing a lot for me right now.
Okay.
He's not. Okay, so overall grade, I'm going to give them the no sacks thing is what really saves them, man.
Yeah. That's all scheme, getting the ball quickly.
I agree. That's why I think
chipping.
I think I give them a C+.
Because we've watched it until the all 22 comes out. It's hard to say, but there was a lot of multiple tight end formations. So
I don't think we didn't run as much multiple tight end as we did last game.
I thought there was a.
No, I mean we had. We had like three.
Swain was, I mean, it could be Swain lining up at fullback and then motioning, but there was two tight ends out there, a pretty good amount.
But we ran three tight end sets like three times against the Texans.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we did that once this week. So I don't think we did as much. We ran a lot of two tight ends. I mean, there was a lot of plays with tight ends last week. I think only 12% of the snaps didn't have a tight end in. And interestingly enough, out of those 12%, I think 10% of those snaps without a tight end against the Texans came on the final drive of the game. So that was an interesting little rant. So what's your grade? I forgot. We rant like usual around here. What's your grade, offensive line grade?
Give my average grade for the night. Just give it a B.
Okay. You're really going on a limb there, huh? All right. Let's move on to the running back position. We talked about Leonard Fournette. We teased him a little bit.
Slonet.
Leonard Fournette ended the game with like 64 yards with a long of 69. It was an ironic stat. People always talked about it. But give me your analysis on Fournette and the grade you give the running back position, although he was the only running back that played. So
Fournette. Yeah. Yeah. Has another running back taken a snap this season? Is that Tim?
Yeah. Armstead had a couple snaps against the Chiefs. And all right, so we had to take a little break there. You're not going to hear it in the podcast, but we had to take a little break there to look at the Jags running backs and the amount of carries like anyone else has gotten besides Fournette. Raquel Armstead has one attempt for 7 yards.
Not bad average.
Not bad. Dede Westbrook has two attempts for 6 yards.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew, 11 carries for 80 yards.
That's good.
So we're taking out Gardner Minshew because he's
a quarterback. Is he the best running quarterback in the NFL right now?
Until Lamar Jackson starts to get figured out.
Right, that's right.
So let's take out Gardner Minshew's stats for the year because he's a quarterback. You have Raquel Armstead, one attempt for 7 carries. Dede Westbrook, two attempts for 6 carries. The entire rest of the carries, so besides 3 carries, they all go to Leonard Fournette. 43 for 179. Hey, he's at that 4.2 average. He's at that average that people, you know, have always...
Wow.
The big knock on him has been his average.
How do you go from 2017 leading the NFL in rushing to we cannot even, like, get a... Like, yards are hard to get, honestly.
We probably ran a lot because of Bortles. Now we're throwing more with Minshew. I mean, Minshew's had 88 attempts on the year.
43 carries for Fournette this season. That was like a game's... I guess that was like a game's worth in 2017.
Yeah, but back to the point. Leonard has been carrying the lion's share of the carries for the Jags. So give me a grade on Leonard Fournette. And let's keep in mind his receiving. Now, Leonard Fournette is a receiver.
Six for 26, yeah.
And he's 14 for 94.
He had a drop. I think he had a couple drops, and there was
He had one bad drop, one overthrow, yeah. Yeah. But he's doing all right on the season, so...
Can I give him an incomplete?
No.
Feels like it should be.
I give Leonard Fournette a C+, because he tried really hard. Tried on every run. And the blocking wasn't there for him.
Has he ever made a player miss?
He jumped over a dude in Pittsburgh game. God.
Yeah.
And he stiff-armed that one dude to the ground pretty hard from the Steelers.
Kind of. Jeez.
It's disappointing to see him not...
What a pick.
To see him not outrun...
Byard?
Kevin Byard,
He is good, but still. Yeah.
Yeah. We only have two positions left. That's the wide receiver and the quarterback. All right, so the final two positions. We'll go real quick because this podcast is limited in time. The receiver position. Thoughts on the receiver position? Give us a grade.
Chark is improving rapidly. He looks fantastic.
He looks amazing.
Yeah. From last season to this season, what a change. I saw last season that even LSU fans weren't too sure about Chark. His hands, route running was pretty limited. The changes he's made from last season is a complete 180. So yeah, he looks fantastic. Conley looks good. Dede, those drops are pretty bad though.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's not ideal to drop a catch in the end zone like that for sure. I guess it was raining though. We didn't give him that.
Yeah. But the two, there was a couple for like a first down he could have had. But they do seem like simple drops, so those are usually pretty fixable.
All right, so let's say we're lumping in the tight ends, just because for time's sake. We want to get to a segment three about talking about Jalen Ramsey. Lumping the tight ends to that. Thoughts on O'Shaughnessy and Swaim and DeValve?
They're okay. They're definitely serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, they're about average.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. So I would say DJ Chark has definitely emerged as a true number one, I would even say. A true number one. Chris Conley, I mean, I think out of his 12 receptions on the season, I would bet you 9 to 10 of them are on the slant route. I mean, he is the slant route god is what he is.
He's made a couple of nice deep passes, hasn't he, though?
Yeah, I'm telling you, all his catches and run after the catch comes on the slant. Dude, he kills that slant route. I mean, you know how quarterbacks have certain connections on slant routes with certain receivers?
Yeah.
Like, growing up, I remember having that with certain quarterbacks when you run routes and they could throw you a slant.
Definitely remember that?
I definitely remember that. Like, they're like, all right, like, I'm going to run a slant, and this dude's going to hit me on it, like, every single time I run it. I feel like that's a connection that Conley and Minshew have. D.D. Westbrook, obviously, want to see more out of him. You hit on that nail on the head. O'Shaughnessy, I think, has been playing lights out. Although he only has 10 receptions for 78 yards, that's a good average. He had a pretty clutch route and touchdown.
He does the job.
And he's a good blocker. Yeah. And he's a good blocker in space. Yeah. He's a good blocker in space, too, and that cannot be underrated. Jeff Swaim, I'm starting to think, is trash. I'm starting to think Jeff Swaim is trash.
Healthy, he does the job as well, honestly.
I'm starting to think I would want DeValve out there more than I want Swaim. Swaim just doesn't look good.
They could be slowing him into the offense. I can see it.
I don't know. What's your grade for the receivers?
Receivers, the drops are a little crucial. Ooh, so many Bs tonight. This is a tough one. That's a shame. I was giving out some tough grades earlier, so I guess I have to stick to that. I'll give them a C+, only because of the drops.
Wow, that's tough. I think Chark made an amazing catch.
B+ is a really good game.
I thought D.D. Westbrook, although he had drops, made a good catch. I thought Chris Conley was clutch in his two catches. I thought Fournette played better out of the backfield than he has in a while. O'Shaughnessy did decent. I'll give them a B.
Okay.
I'll give them a B. Yeah.
You're more on the relaxed. I can tell you're a teacher. You're more on the let's get by so I can just.
You've given every every position grade a B.
That's a hard. No, I didn't. I gave an A. A B is a good grade, and the positions did play well.
I would love to be when I was in school.
And I'm only knocking them because of the drops. Didi, that's your number one. He's expected to make those plays.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, that could have changed the entire night with that touchdown catch.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the quarterbacks. Final position. Give us your grade for the quarterbacks. And by quarterbacks, I mean that singularly with Gardner Minshew.
A, yeah.
You give him an A?
A. All right. Fantastic. No turnovers, no sacks. He stepped up in the pocket. He ran, slid when he needed to. There was a couple throws. You can attribute that to the weather. It was the first drive that passed to O'Shaughnessy. That one passed to Fournette.
Yeah.
But overall, it was pretty good.
Didn't take any sacks.
Yeah, he's
awesome.
Didn't
throw a pick. Scrambled.
When there's Tennessee fans in their own home thread saying, why does a six-round draft pick rookie look more poised than our number two? Yeah, it's something.
Good
for him, too.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's a great guy. Yeah, I'm with you there. I give Minshew that A, golden A. A star. Great job.
I noticed the mustache is already gone. You had one last night. What happened to
it? I had to go to work today. So I shaved it.
It was only a 6-hour stash.
But maybe the next one. Maybe the next one will grow. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Quick word from our sponsors. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be right back to talk a little Jalen Ramsey. Hey, welcome back to another Jags podcast. This is segment 3. So if you're looking for our Jalen Ramsey segment, this is it. We're talking all of Jalen Ramsey with my boy here, Brodell Higgins, who's one of the biggest guys on FSU Twitter that there is. So we're happy to have him on here to talk all things Jalen Ramsey. All right, Mike. So we haven't heard your thoughts since the Jalen Ramsey news was announced. As someone, avid FSU fan, as someone who roots for Jalen Ramsey in all tiers of his career, what are your thoughts on Jalen Ramsey?
The entire situation kind of sucks. He's kind of whiny. Tom Coughlin's kind of an idiot when it comes to more of the modern touches of football. Have we seen our last game of Jalen Ramsey in a Jaguar uniform?
It seems that way.
Which is a shame because the defense looks so good right now.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
And it seems like a bad time. Who was it that was talking about don't break up the party we were watching?
It was Good Morning Football.
Good Morning Football. Man, it's like, come on, Jalen, don't break the party up. Like, yeah. You're on the brink of doing something great here. Like, this team's looking like it's putting it all together, and the last thing that he'd want to do is bail when the momentum's starting to roll.
Yeah. You got to... not that the Chiefs' defense is bad. They're pretty good in their own right. But what happens if he does get traded to Kansas City? You're not familiar with the players. You're not familiar with the scheme. You're not familiar with the coaches. I mean, I guess you still have Pat Mahomes, so the chances of you going far are pretty good. But still, yeah.
Who are some places you could see Ramsey going, potentially?
I mean, they keep saying Kansas City, which I would hate to see because...
Well, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, you keep hearing Kansas City, which I would personally hate to see because I feel like our aspirations, I mean, even with Gardner Minshew out, just still to win the Super Bowl, you sign Foles, you have all these players. So why would you trade this elite player to a team that's whooped you twice in a row that you're competing with? So I've never really understood that aspect of it.
Well, you gotta remember Kansas City.
And their draft picks are going to be late. What are they going to, I mean, why?
I mean, they give up a couple draft picks and maybe next year's first two.
Two first that are, the 30th pick? I mean, I guess that's cool.
But, I mean, you got to remember, Andy Reid, like, he'll take on guys like that. DeSean Jackson was a big personality.
Yeah.
He took on Terrell Owens in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, Marcus Peters, he brought him in.
Yeah.
Like, he brings in guys like that.
Yeah.
And
but why does that benefit? I mean, those draft picks, I'd rather trade it to a different team.
But if you don't have that many people, like, offering you, like, if the Chiefs are...
We are no obligation to trade him at all.
Okay, but if the Chiefs offer you... Okay, how many first-round picks do they have this year? Just one or they have two this year?
They have one.
So they so if they give you a first and a second and next year's first?
I maybe consider it, but with the way the team is playing, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, just offer him money.
All right, about the... looking at an NFL Network list. Let's see if I can give you a reference here. This was written by Bucky Brooks, our boy Bucky.
Former Jaguar.
And he says, Philadelphia Eagles, Oakland Raiders, and Detroit Lions.
Give me Oakland. Those picks are going to be better.
For sure.
Yeah.
And
even if it is the Bears, I think they're definitely significantly worse than the Chiefs are, obviously.
Do you think Gruden will bring in another personality like that after what happened with Antonio Brown?
He's obsessed with superstars. I absolutely could see it. I don't think he's anywhere near what Antonio Brown is or was for the Raiders.
I mean, it's close as far as the demanding a trade and all that.
Yeah, there's all these allegations that are coming out. Antonio Brown is apparently a nutcase. So
that's true. Yeah, still. All right, so what about the Lions? I mean, you can't get much. I mean, they might have a top pick. What's good about that?
If they want to give us some players, too, I'd take...
They're not going to trade...
Snacks Harrison.
They're not going to trade him or Slay.
I'll take some... Maybe one of their offensive linemen. Frank Ragno and a couple first. I'd take that.
Yeah.
What happened there? So, yeah, keep him. We're in no rush to trade him.
All right. Here's the last scenario. And I just want to throw... These are maybe unrealistic scenarios. It was floated by, I think, Zach Goodall. He says, Zach Ertz, Eagles first for Jalen. Do you take that trade?
It was Zach Ertz, a first and what else?
That's it, for Jalen.
I like Ertz a lot. What he's getting on... How old is he? Almost 30, probably?
Yeah, probably.
He was 20. He was in the Jonathan Cyprian class, 2012. It's not bad. I'd rather keep him. But, I mean, if it comes down to it, that's not bad, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as good as it's going to get. And maybe Goddard is their future.
Yeah.
And they can move on from him. I don't know, man. Like, the whole thing, like, I've been on both sides of the fence all throughout the process of this demanding trade, even though it's been a couple of days. Like, at times I'm like, man, no one's bigger than the team. Then at times I'm like... Man, Jalen's a generational talent. We got to keep him.
Hall of Famer.
But I don't know, man. Like, what I try to think about is, like, you and I are both big Bill Belichick fans. How would Bill Belichick handle the situation?
He would have traded him, probably, for assets. That's what he's always a year early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I try to think about.
But he also rewards his players. Bill's pretty good about it. If you're a certain tier player, he lets you go out. You get your offer, you come back, and if it's a reasonable offer, they'll give it to you. So, I mean, Jalen's pretty good. He gave Stephon Gilmore a lot of money, and people questioned that at the time. So,
yeah, he's turned out to be pretty good now.
Yeah.
And he did give, who was the safety who he gave a lot of money to? McCourty.
McCourty.
McCourty ended up being pretty good, too.
Yeah, McCourty was very close to coming to here or Philadelphia. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I try to think, what would Belichick do? And Belichick would keep the team a team game, and he would ship out Ramsey at the first or second offer.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's into making a point.
I don't think this would have even been an issue. I think it's just Tom Coughlin being so out of touch.
Maybe. I don't know. Part of me feels like Belichick would have handled this the same way Coughlin did.
No.
You think Coughlin would have? But
Coughlin's always, even when he had RG Soured, he's always been kind of... I feel like he's this dictator, it's his way or the highway, and he's pretty illogical when it comes to a lot of things. I think so.
You know what he would have done with, you know what Belichick would have done with Ngakwe? Trade him to Cleveland.
Paid him. Yeah, maybe that.
Or I mean, Chandler Jones. Who was the other DN? Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
He ships, dude. I feel like Bill Belichick is like, I can find myself a DN anytime I want.
Yeah. Well, it's their scheme. It's mostly they contain. They don't really go after the quarterback. So, yeah, it's all predicated on discipline, containing your gaps. So.
All right. So, what your ideal situation, obviously everyone's like pie in the sky. Ideal situation is pay Jalen, he stays, he's happy.
Yeah.
What do you realistically see happening?
I mean, the next few games we have Broncos. What do you think, winnable?
Broncos, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Panthers, winnable without Cam playing.
Yeah.
Who's after that? Drew Brees is coming up, not playing.
Yeah.
Winnable.
Yeah. But I mean, you never know how Bridgewater's going to play.
We play the Bengals, winnable game. We really do have a set. I mean, even if Nick Foles, either way, I think we have a schedule that sets up for us to at least compete in the second half. The Jets have mono.
The whole team is mono.
Contaminated. They're literally all contaminated.
The Colts, who knows? You know them. The Bucks,
yeah.
Terrible.
So I mean,
Chargers will be good. Raiders.
Why trade him? We'll trade him next offseason if we can't come to an agreement next offseason.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's him, not if he's literally gonna be like, I'm not playing. I can understand that. Get him out of here. But he tries hard. I mean,
well, the only
as
thing
long
I
as we're winning.
Okay, here's one thing I noticed, and I may be reading too far into this because I do this from time to time when looking at film. I noticed a lot of times when the Jaguars were bringing blitzes and pressures, like 7 or 8 guys, that all of the defensive backs would be in press coverage. And then Jalen would be like 10 yards off. And everyone's in press. Everyone's at the line of scrimmage. It looks like a pure cover one. And then Jalen's like playing like 10 yards off. And I know that defensive coaches in Marone have given Jalen Ramsey the liberty to play at any pre-snap alignment he wants. Mm-hmm. So why is he choosing to play off all the time? Like, I feel like he's just like kind of mailing it in.
Maybe.
I mean, his coverage wasn't good. What was good and a very underrated part of Jalen Ramsey's defense is his ability to play against the run and his tackling.
I'm
going
to have to watch
setting.
The coach's film. You definitely can't say that last week. 42.
I'm saying this week, though.
Okay. I'll have to look at the...
I mean, it's funny because we watched a bunch of different things today. ESPN had someone on there saying that Jalen Ramsey played a terrible game, and NFL Network had someone on there saying...
I think that was Skip or...
Skip Bayless.
Shannon. Oh, God.
Skip Bayless said that Jalen Ramsey played terrible, and someone from Good Morning Football said that Jalen Ramsey played amazing.
Yeah.
It's so funny how two people that are like in the exact same role can see the same game differently. We are going to have to go back and watch the All-22, but honestly, I don't think Ramsey played that well. I think he played well against the run and shedding blocks and making tackles, but he didn't play well in coverage.
Yeah. I mean, the only play I can complain about is that sharp. So...
Okay, here's a question for you. How different does the game look yesterday if Trey Herndon is playing instead of Jalen? Because there was potential Jalen could have... There was potential that Jalen could have been traded that week, right?
Yeah.
There was offers. We even talked about Bill Belichick probably would have shipped him out at the second offer given to him. How different...
Completely changes.
How different is the game?
Well...
So what do they
now
throw
he has
on?
More responsibilities.
Do they throw on Herndon more, or Bouye has more responsibility? So how does the secondary change when Jalen's gone? Because is Herndon going to step in?
It puts more stress on the safeties.
Yeah,
absolutely, it does.
How do you think Herndon fills in?
I could see AJ Brown did not have a good game yesterday. He was matched up on Jalen Ramsey a pretty good amount. I could easily see AJ Brown absolutely going off against Trey Herndon, and it's nothing against him. He's a cool dude and a good depth, but Jalen Ramsey is a premier player.
I agree.
I don't know if I trust AJ. I mean, I love AJ Bouye, and I hope he's on the Jaguars next year, but like even him is a number one last night.
I agree, but we're just going to look at the reality of it, and our depth is that. And I'm not as hesitant to say that it's not going to be a drop-off as you are. I think in coverage, we look similar. Although, I mean, I think Jalen Ramsey is a premier corner as well.
I think as far as what entire scheme.
I think maybe Jalen Ramsey takes away that receiver, but does Herndon really give you that much of a drop off in this? I mean, I don't know.
He wasn't drafted, correct? And that doesn't mean anything.
That means nothing. Gardner's
playing
that
well.
Means absolutely nothing.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, I know, but it's just something to think about. All right, so last thought. We got to wrap it up. Last thought on Jalen Ramsey. What do you think happens? What do you hope happens? What do you see happening? Thoughts?
I think we dropped the bag. Money talks. Everything else walks.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think he's gone this week. Ooh. And Trey Herndon is our new cornerback too.
Well, welcome to losing football. So
maybe.
Sounds like Jaguars.
Maybe. All right. Thank you for listening to another Jags podcast. Appreciate it so much. This is Brodell Higgins with us tonight. My boy Mike, huge football fan, studies the X's and O's, much like myself. And we watched the game probably, three or four times. It was great. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Another Jags Pod, Facebook, Instagram, Another Jags Podcast. I'm going to have an episode this weekend that's all about your questions and your comments. I apologize. It's been crazy with the huge win and the Jalen Ramsey news. We're going to hit all your mailbag questions coming up in the next couple days. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, go Jags.